Welcome to Engage, leading conversations that matter.
Listening to Engage on Central Florida Public Media, I'm Sharon Stone. It is Thursday, July 18th. And coming up, we look at options for Floridians with terminal illnesses seeking end-of-life options. First, though, Rita Manabach was born in Pittsburgh and spent most of her life in Virginia. She retired to Marion County and lived a rich life dedicated to serving her community. Her son, Michael Manabach, describes her commitment to Central Florida.
My mom spent her entire life in service to other people, a guidance counselor, a school principal, a teacher. Later on, after she retired, volunteering with hospice, as well as being a guardian ad litem for children in the court system who need an advocate. And literally up to the last days of her life was championing causes that she felt were important and trying to share her experience and guidance and compassion. And she was teaching up till the day she was gone.
In the last week of June, Rita Manabach flew to Vermont with some family members. She met with some doctors, moved into a small apartment, and enjoyed a dinner with about a dozen close friends and family members. She attended a memorial service in her own honor. Then, just 1 week ago, on July 11th, Rita swallowed a handful of life-ending pills and died. She had been diagnosed with terminal respiratory disease, and it had created a quality of life that was untenable. For people diagnosed with a terminal illness, end-of-life decisions become a reality for both the patients and the people who care for them in all ways. This often means making difficult decisions that ultimately result in an untimely death, but one that is considered merciful to the person suffering. 11 states have provisions allowing medical staff to aid a terminal patient in ending their own life with dignity. Florida is not one of those states. Last year, Vermont joined Oregon in becoming the only two states to legally allow out-of-state adult residents to come to end their lives. Certain conditions must be met, diagnosis from multiple doctors, the medication must be self-administered, and multiple requests must be made over time for approval. But in the end, the patient is allowed to die comfortably and on their own terms. Michael Manabach joined us earlier today to talk about his mother, both in life and about her decision to end it. We also spoke with Tony Ray, the founder of the Florida Death with Dignity, a Right to Die nonprofit advocacy he formed after dealing with several family members who experienced pain and difficulty at the end of their lives. We began the conversation by asking Michael Manabach to describe the first signs that Rita's illness was terminal.
Her primary condition was one of respiratory disease, most likely with some complications. I think the first inklings of it were about a year ago when a shadow was found on one of her x-rays, but she was not really showing any significant clinical signs at the time. Her ability to have any degree of energy slowly declined, and then she got pneumonia. Pneumonia knocked her down as it would anybody of her age. The pneumonia was cleared by antibiotic treatment and other treatments. And when the pneumonia was gone, she felt worse than she did before. And that was when she realized there's something more going on here. And the follow-up testing she chose to undergo, and she did not undergo all of it. There were ones that she was very specific that she wanted and didn't want, did show worsening of her respiratory condition, did show signs of other disease processes going on, and her ability to function, her ability to do the things that she wanted to do as a human, declined on a pretty rapid scale after that.
Was a terminal diagnosis clear? Was that inevitable?
It was definitely inevitable. I don't believe they had a 100% diagnosis, because the procedures that would have been necessary to get that were ones that could be fairly invasive, put her at risk for a worsening, in some cases, a collapsed lung. It put her at risk for her being in a condition where she would need to be in the hospital, need to be on a lot of support systems, which is exactly what she didn't want. And so while a 100% definitive diagnosis was not achieved, the combination of the diagnostics they did do, the trajectory that her clinical signs took, were very clearly terminal.
It sounds like you were very clear on what your mother did and did not want. What were some of the conversations like regarding how the end of her life would be managed?
Well, fortunately for me, it was my mom who was very clear on what she did and didn't want. She absolutely had the capacity and the self-awareness. Sorry, it takes me a second here. I actually told her that I was kind of in awe of the strength and the personal awareness of herself that she had. But yeah, she made it very clear she wanted to be among family. She wanted to be in her home. She didn't want to be in a situation where she was in a hospital and there were, you know, pains and invasive treatments and things like that that were keeping her body alive, but were not serving her spirit and her happiness and her quality of life.
At this time, your mother was in Orlando. What were the options
Correct.
Doctors in Florida were able to offer?
I think that she had a good rapport. She was very fortunate to have some excellent, excellent doctors. I think they respected her wishes of what treatments and what diagnostics she wanted and didn't want. But obviously, their hands were somewhat tied when it came to options for relieving suffering in a disease that's terminal. My understanding is right now, death with dignity, medical aid and dying laws are not in place in Florida. And so the doctors definitely, that was something they were not able to offer her.
And then your mother was able to connect with doctors in Vermont via Right to Die organizations that specialize in navigating the healthcare system in Vermont for people out of state.
Correct. Florida Hospice was in contact. There was a handoff of her case to Vermont Hospice. There are some absolutely terrific people working there. So much of what my mom wanted would have been impossible without their help. They were absolutely marvelous. And they helped get her in touch with the right people so that she could exercise her rights up there in Vermont.
Did you have any resentment towards your mother, or was this hard for you to accept?
It was not hard for me to accept. I held zero resentment whatsoever. I, like most of us, when we're trying to get our heads around something, we kind of ask ourselves, well, gosh, if this was happening to me, what would I want? And I would have wanted exactly the same thing that she wanted. And so from that regard, it was, you know, a difficult time saying goodbye, and the grieving process starts as soon as you find out what's going on with the diagnosis. But as far as my relationship with her, just love and respect for her strength, because if our situations were reversed, that's what I would have wanted too.
Your mother lived in Florida. The Orlando area was her home. Did it bother her at all that she couldn't spend her final days at home?
Definitely. The folks up in Vermont, as I've said, were wonderful, absolutely terrific. Her end-of-life doula up there was marvelous. But of course, she would have preferred to have been in her own surroundings, in her own home. The trip itself was actually a challenge because, you know, she was on an oxygen concentrator to help her get a little more bang for the buck from each breath she took. She was extremely weak and extremely mobility restricted. And so even a direct plane flight going through the airport, navigating that, which everybody who's healthy would take 100% for granted, it wasn't a given for her. And she had to balance that situation of her health and how quickly it was declining, not wanting to leave home too soon because home is where the comfort is, but not wanting to wait so long that she was incapable of making the trip. And that absolutely would have been a lot easier for her if she could have just been at home.
And Mike, you just recently lost your mother. How are you doing now?
I'm doing all right. you know, hey, there's a marvelous analogy of grief called the ball in the box analogy. I won't go into detail with it right now, but it's a way of kind of thinking about and understanding how grief is present and huge. And over time, which I haven't had yet, but over time, it does become less. It does become less frequent, but it never goes away. And so right now, with that analogy, it's still pretty fresh. But I think we're doing well. I mean, I'm still just in awe of how my mom's strength in pursuing this and the outpouring from people has just been marvelous and very, very helpful. You know, obviously, she's my mom. I know her on the family side of things. But she had worked and volunteered for her entire life, and having some of these people who I hadn't met share sides of her professionally that, you know, she's my mom. I don't know her professionally. Having them share their experience with her has really been good. And it's tough, but, you know, she had the opportunity to pass in the way that was important to her, pain-free, fearlessly, surrounded by family. Man, we all got to go some way, and that's a pretty darn good way to go. So I miss her. I love her. I'm going to do whatever I can to carry on her legacy. And if I grow up to be, well, grow up, I'm 53. But if I grow up to be half the person that she was, whew, I'll count myself an amazing, amazing success.
Tony, what made you want to start Death with Dignity in Florida, this organization?
My wife and I have always been the caretakers in our family. We have shepherded, I don't know, five or six of our relatives, my parents, Helene's parents, her aunt, Connie, and family friends at the end of life. We've got a great respect for hospice, for what they do, and we are supportive of the hospice concept. But there are some individuals that hospice just can't quell all the pain and suffering that they may be subjected to at the end of life. And the one that we experienced was Helene's Aunt Connie. And we watched her. She was already in hospice with a terminal heart condition and had a serious fall. She was 93 years old. She was not going to the hospital for operation or anything like that. And we watched her suffer for over 12 days. Morphine gave her horrific hallucinations. There was nothing they could do for her. Lane and I did round the clock taking care of her. And when it was all over, the thing that kept sticking in my mind was, what benefit to society or to anyone did Connie's suffering for all those days, what did that achieve? What good was it? And I'm not much of a sleeper. And one night I was up surfing the net and ran across some national organizations that advocate for all of the end-of-life options that we all should have. And I took some classes with Death with Dignity National Center. And the lady who was teaching the classes, who's also the lady who spearheaded the main campaign that got a medical aid dying law, stated that they had more inquiries to the National Center from Florida than any other state. But no one had ever taken a serious stab at starting a movement here in Florida. And after mulling that over for a few weeks, I made the decision to start it. I don't have a background in that kind of endeavor. I'm a retired building contractor. But the reception and support that we received from the general public over the last 3 years plus has been phenomenal. We have almost 6,000 people to get our newsletter. We have volunteers spread across the state. We've been able to get a medical aid dying bill submitted in both houses of the legislature the last 2 years, even though they didn't go anywhere. They were assigned to committees, but there was no hearings or they weren't placed on the agenda. So for us, it's all about the compassion that someone at end of life should be able to make decisions their healthcare decisions based on their own beliefs and values.
I'm listening to you talk about the state efforts. Is there a chance a federal right to die law could be a viable possibility?
I don't see that being something that's going to happen anytime soon and on a national level. The Supreme Court, on a court case back some 10, 15 years ago, basically assigned this to a state's, individual state's decision. But, you know, currently there are 10 states plus DC that have medical aid dying laws. And Delaware, it has passed both houses this session and has waiting the governor's decision to sign it into law or veto it. Last year, Nevada was passed by both houses, but the governor vetoed it. And I can understand an individual that may not believe in medical aid dying based on their religious convictions and this and that, but why would you deny someone else the right to achieve a peaceful and calm death when they're already in the dying process just because it's different than yours? There has been governors who personally did not believe in it, but signed it because they realized that a majority of their constituents, of the residents of their state, supported it. There are years and years of nationally conducted polls and state polls that overwhelmingly show that people of all political persuasions and religious convictions are in favor. I'm talking 65, 70, 75% support an individual who's terminal having the right to choose if they wish.
So, Tony, where does this leave you as Florida Death with Dignity to fight for this cause? What do you do now?
Well, our main goal is educating the general public and also legislators, of course. It's amazing how many people, A, have never heard of medical aid dying. They've heard of names and words of things that don't really apply, and they assume that's what it is, things like euthanasia and things like that. Euthanasia is illegal in all 50 states, and in my opinion, will never be legal in the United States. But their education, they're confused about what the appropriate terms are and what the true facts of the history of medical aid and dying in the United States is. We have the strictest requirements and safeguards in the world when it concerns medical aid and dying, and the fact that the individual must self-administer the medication is the key to why we have such stiff requirements and safeguards. People don't realize there's opponents to medical aid dying talk about, you know, the rush of people being forced to use medical aid dying, things like that. 25 years of statistics show that across the 10 states that less than 0.5% of the deaths in a given made state are actually attributed to someone taking advantage of the medical aid dying law. So this is for people who have been suffering for years with a terminal condition possibly, and they're looking for that sense of control. They're looking for the ability to self-determine, to make choices concerning their health care at end of life.
That was Tony Ray, founder of Florida Death with Dignity, and Michael Manabach, whose mother traveled to Vermont to bring an end to her life following a painful and terminal diagnosis.